The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Welcome to another Monday night here on the Shadows Radio. I am Rebecca.
And I am Bill.
Wait, you were supposed to wait for like 30 seconds so we could pretend it was two weeks ago. Whatever that was. Also, your phone chimed in perfectly at that moment.
I know, right? What the heck's up with that? I'm getting emails out the wazoo.
You're popular all of a sudden.
Yeah, Xfinity. We would love to have your feedback. Yeah, stop bothering me. How's that for feedback?
Yeah. Well, it's nice to hear you in real time.
Yeah,
whatever the hell that was the other night.
I got a lot of people were telling me how funny it was.
I'm sure it was hysterical.
They're like, you just laughed on top of Rebecca talking and answered at the wrong time. I'm like, yep.
It was, and I just kept going because I'm like, you know what? I just got to keep going because
show must go on. Yeah.
And at some point, I was just going to hang up on you because I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And I don't even know, like, what actually went out over the air, which was great.
Yeah. Apparently, my name got cut off at the end. It's like, I'm Rebecca. Click. Oh, okay.
That's because it took you like 2 hours to answer.
Yeah, I'm Rebecca. Click.
Bye.
Yeah.
Well, last week, we didn't get any audio at all, so...
Yeah,
that was the thing. So apparently our drivers were corrupted, and the IT monkey hammered on it with a banana, and we are back to the world.
Man, IT monkeys and bananas and corrupted drivers.
Yes.
I thought that was only for the cab drivers in New York City or something. I don't know. Anywho.
Awkward pause. Terrible joke.
Monday, March the 1st. We had made it through February.
All right, so I got to before we do your days of the day thing.
Oh, days of the day. Uh-huh.
Yes. Before we do that, I just want to say shout outs to our listener, Helena, who I actually ran into her today. I haven't seen her in like 100 years, and it was exciting to actually see somebody in person.
Wow.
So it was very fun to actually run into her and recognize people because you haven't seen them in like 100 years. And then...
Even with the mask on,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, Elena's very easy to spot from, like, across the room, because I think she's, like, 4 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
She's amazing. She's amazing. She's awesome. And, yeah, she's, like, 4 feet tall.
She cut my hair this weekend, did she?
I don't know. You can ask her.
Oh, okay. she was only 4 foot tall.
Okay. No, I don't think so. And then a shout out to Kara, who from Terror by Kara, who does our gummy bear readings and, you know, who pops in all the time on our show, for sending my children the softest blankets ever in the history of the world. Because, quite frankly, they were fighting over the one that she sent us before, so she actually sent us other ones. So now we have four of them, and they're fighting over all four of them. So, you know, but at least there's extra. So, okay, I'm done.
Like them.
Yes. Well, they're one of those ones that, like, they're fuzzy, like the fleece, and then when you wash them, they actually retain the fuzzy. Like, they don't get all, like, weirdly matted.
Flat. Yeah, like my pillows.
Yeah, like, sometimes you wash them, and they get all flat and gross, and they're like, oh, well, that was useless.
Yeah,
so,
I got a pair of underwear like that, and that was, like, a bummer.
You have fuzzy fleece underwear?
Oh, no. That was something else. Okay.
Okie dokie.
Anyway.
TMI for the day. All right, go ahead. Good. Do your days of the days of the days.
My days of the days of March of 2021. I'm going to skip around because some of it's kind of weird. But it's if you're a horse rider, it's National Horse Protection Day. So we don't know if you're supposed to protect the horse or give the horse protection. Don't know. Anyway, if you live in Minnesota and you are listening, which I hope you are, it is your day.
Happy Minnesota. It does say Minnesota, right? It's Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Day.
My day, National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. I love me some peanut butter. National Pig Day. If you're a pig lover, hug your pig. This one's for you, Rebecca. National Self-Injury Awareness Day.
What are you saying?
So if you hurt yourself a lot or fall down, it's your day to be aware of that. And I would do it for today, but tomorrow is National Old Stuff Day. So I guess
Day.
I fall into that one, yep. Yeah, so that's all I got that's really cool and really dysfunctional for the day. So that's good.
Aww.
I'm good.
That's so nice.
Don't forget to hug your pig.
Or make bacon.
Yep. And give your horse protection. So.
Can I tell you, the other day my daughter made a zoo out of her like little people. You know what little people are? Like the little figurines.
Yeah.
Okay, so she has like a million of them. We have a whole bucket full. And so she took them all out and she set them all up and she made it a little zoo. And it was cute. And we were playing and she goes, okay, mommy, now you get to buy an animal to take home with you. Kind of like the gift shop at the end of the tour, I guess. And okay. So I was like, okay, I want the bacon. And she looked at me and she just looked down at a thing. And she's like, mommy, this is not food. This is animals. I'm like, where do you think bacon comes from? And she goes,
oh boy.
She goes, the diner.
I'm a vegetarian.
I'm like, no, where does bacon, where does hamburger come from? Cows. Where does pork chops come from? Pigs. Where does bacon come from? The diner. So apparently, according to my 5-year-old, bacon comes from diner chefs. So, you know.
She's very smart.
Also, because we don't cook bacon at home, because 1, I can't handle the grease, and 2, bacon always tastes better when somebody else cooks it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I smell bacon today at work today, all day.
Isn't that a sign of a stroke or something?
Well, I don't know.
But I think that's a sign of a stroke if you smell bacon or there's no bacon around. Or maybe that's popcorn. I don't know. If you smell something, smelling things is bad, apparently. And not smelling things means you have COVID. So you're kind of in a corner either way. On that happy note, let's get into our topic.
Okay.
So I pulled this one for you because I wasn't sure if we were going to have a show tonight. I didn't really do any research this weekend because I was listening to the IT monkey yell curse words at his bananas. So we're going to talk about a list that I found called the top 10 military bases linked to UFOs that are not Area 51. Obviously, we've talked about Area 51 on the show. We've talked about the Denver airport, like a couple of places that are pretty UFO heavy. We talked about Roswell a little bit. We've talked about the Nevada Triangle. So there's a lot of, things going on. But these are ones that we haven't really touched on. So I thought that would be kind of fun. And I know you love the aliens. So.
Yeah. And plus, a lot of listeners, even a lot of people just hear aliens. They think of Area 51. But, basically, there have been sightings and deep sightings all over the country and all over the world that you really won't hear about that much. And so, making people aware of there's more out there than just meets the eye, whether it be true or not, fact or fiction, faked, whatever, that's up to you to decide. And so they come down and get you at night when you're in your bed in your slippers. And they steal your slippers.
Maybe that's what happened to your underpants. They stole your fuzzy underpants.
Fuzzy underpants. I'm telling you.
What happened. So, it wasn't that you washed them, because you should always wash your underpants. It was that they stole your fuzzy underpants and they replaced them with some kind of like itchy army surplus.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah.
All right. So, the first one on the list is called Malmstrom Air Force Base. Which deploys Minuteman III intercontinental ballistic missiles, also known as ICBMs. It's near Great Falls, Montana. In 1967, the missile combat crew received reports from security patrols and maintenance crews that a UFO was hovering over one of the missile silos. Shortly thereafter, each of the 10 missiles shut down one at a time. While declassified documents prove that the nuclear weapons did indeed become inoperable, there's scant evidence that it was actually the UFO. However, evidence was gathered at an earlier UFO sighting called the Mariana UFO incident, which took place in Great Falls, 1950. Nick Mariana, manager of the minor league wow. baseball team, may be the first person to intentionally capture footage of a UFO. A bright flash caught Mariana's attention while he was inspecting a baseball field. He ran to get a 16mm camera when he saw two silver discs flying at lightning speed over the city. He was able to get 16 seconds of color video footage. However, he later claimed that 35 complete frames were missing after the Air Force examined his film and returned it to him.
Of course.
These frames showed that the mysterious objects in the sky and the discs were discs that were rotating.
They were what? Discs?
They were discs that were rotating. So instead of just being like these things flying across the sky, he said they actually, the missing frames proved that these were actually spinning.
Ah, okay.
So I feel like that would be pretty interesting. And you can actually look, the Mariana footage is actually on YouTube if you wanted to find it and look at it. It looks like discs flying over the sky on a 16mm 1950s camera.
Right, right.
However, the ICBM thing is really interesting. And somebody tried to actually track it down and see, like, you know how the U.S. government unsealed a bunch of UFO documents recently?
Yeah, with all the blacked out, marker.
Yeah, but basically it was like a giant black square, and they're like, UFO document number one, black square. Yeah. Someone tried to back through and see if this was actually documented. But no one was able to really find it because of, again, like you said, all the retraction.
Which is funny. So
I think it's great. However, I wonder, my brain instinctively would go to something like a EMP from like a Russian plane or something. You know, I mean.
But they're saying it was a.
Well, they called it a UFO. Well, no, that was 1950. 1967, it was just a hovering UFO.
Right.
So a UFO is unidentified flying object. It literally could have been anything.
Well, yeah. But they do speculate that you brought up the ICBM missiles that, you know, they're all like, if they are real, they are coming and basically they're attracted to our nuclear and our military bases for certain reasons, basically, you know.
Well, it makes sense. They'd want to know what kind of, like, if we're going to invade Earth, how much are they going to shoot at us?
Yeah, well, they don't even want to invade Earth. They don't even want it anymore.
Not right now. No, it's done now. Yeah. But before, this is in the 60s and everybody was happy still.
Yeah, well, you know, we are a war-bound people, so it's like they're checking up on us, you know, or keeping tabs.
But I still think the idea of, like, each one of these, like, the ICBMs shut down one at a time and basically became inoperable.
Right.
To me, read something like a EM pulse or something like that, where this, whatever this thing that was hovering, whether it be a weather balloon from Russia or a, you know, early kind of manned, you know, plane of some kind, it did something to shut down the electronics. It you know, that would be my thought anyway. Right. That would be my instinct.
Okay.
Just a thought.
That's definitely, it's definitely a thought.
Or it could have been aliens.
Hey, right, unproven aliens.
No, aliums.
Aliums? Yeah. Is that a plural?
No, that's how my daughter says alien.
All right.
So I'm going to go with that. Because it's cuter than alien. All right, so the next one on our list is called Carswell Air Force Base. And I love that they're always Air Force Bases. 1947 Roswell incident in New Mexico obviously is the famous UFO encounter. The first press release stated that a flying saucer had been found. The second press release claimed that the object was a weather balloon. Operations officer Robert Shirky saw an aluminum-like material with characters written on it being loaded for a flight to Carswell Air Force Base in Fort Worth, Texas. Flight crewman Robert Porter reported that the boxes holding the pieces of the flying saucer were as light as empty boxes. In later years, UFOs were seen around the base, meaning Carswell. In 1954, a T-shaped aircraft was spotted and picked up on radar. The blue, green, and white UFO hovered at 4,000 feet above the nearby airport. Another sighting was recorded by the Mutual UFO Network, also known as MUFON. Their witness reporting database had the sighting reported. In 1965, a witness saw a triangle UFO with three lights above it. So, again, as you said, they're picking off the Air Force, basically going, okay, what do we need to know? Well, they took the pieces of our ship. What are they doing with them?
Right. Yep. Or, you know, I mean, it's been a lot of sightings of the triangle type in, you know, the past 40 years. Everything turned from saucer shape, then triangle shape, now the V shape, or...
Well, it's pretty aerodynamic to fly in a triangle shape.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, it's not super fast to be like, hey, I'm going to spin my Frisbee through the air at you. Like, no, it's more, you know, the triangle shape. I don't know. That's my thought. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So what do you think about this one? So they fly the pieces of the supposed Roswell UFO to this Air Force base, and now this Air Force base has all these incidents reported. Do you think it's coincidence? Or do you think it's actually because they're trying to retrieve whatever?
Well, there again, we don't have a proof that there's actually alien visitors to the planet. But if there were, if you would have somewhat of that kind of thought process, you'd be like, yeah, why not? You know, we want to know what they're doing with our stuff. Or... was it just, you know, overactive imaginations going, you know, oh, we see a UFO, they must be tracking us. I don't know. I have my own thoughts on the whole UFO stuff.
Well, what are they? This would be the radio show where you should probably share that information.
We'll get towards the end on some of it, but, I mean, we'll cover a lot of it. But MUFON, when you bring MUFON into it...
It's just fun to say, MUFON!
Well, I have respect for the members of MUFON.
I do, but their name is fun to say.
I was actually asked to become a member of MUFON, but everything is a UFO.
Well, yeah.
Everything. I'm just like, no.
Just like everything's a demon when you ghost hunt.
I guess. Well, yeah. No. But anyway. So, I don't know.
So here's my big problem with UFO, the entire concept of UFO, right? So a UFO is an unidentified flying object. If I throw a banana at you fast enough and all you see is a yellow streak, technically that's a UFO.
Yeah.
It's flying, it's an object, and you did not identify it. That's a UFO. So while it's not a spaceship, a UFO doesn't necessarily mean spaceship. So at least in the terms of the military, they're defining things as UFOs that... it might just be technology from another country. Hey, I saw a helicopter go by. We don't know what country it's from, so I'm going to UFO it. You know?
Yeah, and we have our own that have been considered UFOs.
Exactly.
Until they were revealed.
What was that one? Yeah, was it the stealth? What's it called? I don't even know what's
fighter, the stealth bomber, the stealth fighter. SR-71 Blackbird was one of the first ones, you know, that were tested at White Sands and, you know, considered a UFO for many years.
Yeah. Rain in the chat room makes a good point. It says falling debris from a satellite could technically be a UFO. Exactly. That's kind of my point with, you know, some of these, you know, where I, you know, do I believe that there are alien visitors from space? But I do believe that people are seeing UFOs all over the world. You know, I'm not doubting that. I just think that sometimes technology moves faster than the news reports. Especially when they're not sharing everything with us, so.
Well, you know, and now the big thing's the USOs, you know, the submerged, like, underwater alien bases now.
Loch Ness.
So
definitely Loch Ness.
Alien crafts are flying out of these bodies of water, you know, and then they change the names of UFOs, so it's not really a UFO anymore. You know, the UAPs or... you know, whatever they want to call them. So, you know, yeah, you go back in the times of Project Blue Book and some of the other ones that, you know, the British military has, and they still have them open today. So there's got to be something to it. I mean, I'd be silly if I said I don't believe in UFOs, because I absolutely do believe that there is otherworldly contact of some sort. you know, somewhere, because you have 98% of all UFO encounters have been explained to a certain extent, but there's that 2% they have no absolute clue, and the sightings are too, you know, proven, like the Mexican lights, and it wasn't just one person, it was a city of people that seen the same exact thing, and they're giving stupid answers. You know, they were flares. Well, flares aren't seen for 3 hours hovering above a city, you know, the size of a city, you know, and you know, the different third kind type encounters, you know, like Barney and Betty Hill, you know, the abduction, and then they were taken under, you know, basically it wasn't proven that's what's happened to them, but their stories line up. So it's unproven, but it's proven. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I believe certain things are unexplained that could point to an alien visitation, but until you see, like you and me both, probably until you see a physical UFO landing somewhere and you go, that answers that question, you know, you're always going to be like, you know, could, but is it our imaginations? Who knows? Anyway, on with the story.
All right.
Yeah, my rant's done.
All right, so the next one on our list is Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base?
I are.
You are? Okay.
I are.
So, Captain Oliver W. Pappy Henderson. I love that they give these people with names.
Yeah.
A senior pilot at Roswell Air Force during the Roswell incident flew a plane to Wright-Patterson in Ohio shortly after the incident. He did not discuss the flight for more than 30 years because of security clearances. In 1977, he ended up telling his business partner about his assignment. He said he transported spacecraft wreckage and small alien bodies. He showed his partner a piece of metal from the wreckage that resembled aluminum, but it was lighter and much stiffer. In 1982, Henderson told the same story to several of his Roswell pals while attending a reunion. Other military men confirmed Henderson's story. One of these men is Marine Lieutenant Colonel Marion Big Mac Magruder.
Oh, yeah.
On his deathbed, Magruder remembered the alien he saw was squiggly.
Okay.
I don't know what squiggly means, but that's what he said. Probably on someone's deathbed is not the best time to ask for additional information. You know, I guess.
Yeah.
So why would they split this thing up and take it all over the damn country? Because they're splitting up pieces and sending them all over.
Different places have different ways of testing things or what they want tested. So they have, you know, specialized bases, you know.
Yeah.
I want a piece of it. I want to test it, you know. I can understand why you would do that. And then you got your reverse engineering factor where, you know, hey, we're not going to keep it all in this building. Let's send it here and your specialized technical team can, you know, try to figure this out, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of get that. You know, the alien body thing. You know, remember Alien Autopsy on TV? That was pretty wild back in the 90s. So, I mean, yeah, but it made people think, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're a believer in Roswell, which, who knows, you know, that's basically where this whole thing started. The craze.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I mean, something like that could have. And yes, there could have been alien bodies. And of course, the government's going to cover it up. Especially.
Dang government.
But yeah, who knows? It's not like the, you know, Independence Day thing. But I don't know. And the term UFO, you know, wasn't even, you know, made then. That was from a pilot, I believe, it could have been in Canada or Alaska, flying over basically barren snow, and he's seen these, you know, objects flying in a pattern at speeds estimated over 7,000 miles an hour, and he said they skipped over the air like saucers, and that's where the term flying saucer came from. So it wasn't because it was round or anything like that. It was because of the action. So, interesting.
Yeah, I actually never knew that. I didn't know. I thought, I just assumed it was a military term from day one. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
That it was something that kind of came up later. But, all right, the next one on our list is in a different tab. There we go. Fort Dix. Yes, go ahead. Get your giggle out.
I didn't say nothing. I'm looking at the picture.
That's kind of a funny picture. Major George Filer recounts 6 decades of investigating aliens and UFO in John Guerra's Strange Craft, the true story of an Air Force intelligence officer's life with UFOs. That is a long title.
Yeah.
Let me try that again. Strange Craft, the true story of an Air Force intelligence officer's life with UFOs.
That took up the whole front page.
That's awful. Most notably, Filer recalled the shooting of an alien at Fort Dix in New Jersey. In 1978, a military policeman was following a low-flying aircraft through the wilderness of an army base during the wee hours of a frigid January morning. A 4-foot-tall, grayish-brown creature with long arms, slender body, and a fat head appeared in front of the MP's truck and was then shot. The remains gave off an ammonia-like stench. Filer is a member of the Disclosure Project, which champions the release of all UFO information. In 2017, the Pentagon released footage of an extraterrestrial vehicle outdoing U.S. Navy fighters, confirming some of Filer's description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that footage, and it's pretty amazing. You know, it's fuzzy, of course. I'm just amazed we can have a rover on Mars that has, like, you know, 7K perfect pictures, but, you know, we got stuff here on Earth that's, like, it's fuzzy. You know, we're following it in our fighter jets, but it's, like, a big, brown, fuzzy object, so you can't even distinguish what it was.
Well, that's why it's a UFO and not clearly defined flying object.
It's some damn cameras. I mean, my iPhone would have more if I had an iPhone. I don't even have an iPhone. But anyway. Yeah. That's the whole problem with this whole deal. I mean, I have UFO stories from family and friends and stuff like that, but there's no, it's just like Bigfoot. We got fuzzy pictures. You know, get a camera and hold it still. Hovering above you for an hour, you'd think you'd get a picture of it.
But the problem also is that sometimes if you've got a camera shot that's perfectly aligned, everyone's like, oh, it's Photoshop. There's no way you got that thing perfectly squared up in your frame. And it's not clear. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not clear and fuzzy, then people complain that it's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
but I feel like a lot of these, at least for me, we've got these people who obviously are fighting for disclosure from the U.S. government, who are actually part of the government. And I feel like this guy wouldn't put his name on the line and say, release the documents that you have, if he didn't know there were documents to be had.
Exactly, yeah. And as they're aging out, and these retired military people from, you know, the 70s, the 80s, you know, they know that there's cover-up of some sort, of some type. It's like, release the documents and let's put this to bed, you know? American people can handle it.
Well, that's, I feel like, yeah, exactly. This guy's a major, or Major George Filer. Like, he's not going to put his career and his reputation out there and be like, oh, no, there's definitely UFOs. Release the documentation, and the government be like, what documentation? He'd be like, no, that, you know, I wrote it. Like, I promise you it's there. You know what I mean? Like, if it wasn't so many of them coming forward going, I wrote you a document, release it, I would be like, oh, maybe just one crackpot. But this is, like, over and over and over again. So they have to know more than these big black, you know, redacted documents that they released.
Right. But the question is, can everybody handle it, or would it cause a major panic if you would release a document, a picture, hey, we have definitely been visited by aliens, they are you know, living, they have met us or whatever, or living among us, people go nuts, you know? I feel they go nuts, put it that way.
Well, I guess it depends on what they're releasing. If they're releasing, here's a bunch of videos of, you know, some stuff flying in the sky that you can't, like, all these fuzzy, you know what I mean? Like, these fuzzy videos that we're talking about where nothing's really in focus and it may or may not be a, you know, a Frisbee flying by. Then I don't know if that would be so much a big thing as if they actually had a legit alien body and, you know, here's a piece of technology that we captured or something like that, I think. So it all depends on what exactly they're releasing.
Right.
And why don't, I mean, they could do it in stages, you know?
Yeah.
Release a little bit that's a little bit, you know, scandalous or whatever and see how people handle it. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm confused about the whole thing. I really am. I'm like in this. I'm a believer in it, but there is so much misinformation out there that it makes you even think that you're going crazy. So, I mean, I think like what you said,
mm-hmm.
with this retired military guy willing to put his name on the line, which is not, he's not the only one.
Yep.
And then you have people like Bob Lazar, who worked at Area 51, and then I can't think of the other one. Basically, he was transferred to high security clearances, said he worked on reverse engineering of a spacecraft that was, you know, recovered. And then everybody, then the government's like discounting him, like, oh, this guy's a crackpot. He never worked for us. You know, he was never here.
Yeah.
But then on the other side of it, they found his work documents. They found his paycheck stubs. So he did work there. He worked for the government. Whether or not he worked on reverse engineering is now disregarded because they lied and said, we don't know him. He's never worked here. But then you find out he did. So now are they lying about reverse engineering also? So, you know, you got to start thinking about that the whole way down the line, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. Weird.
All right. So next one on our list, just keep an eye on the time, is 29 Palms in the Mojave Desert, California.
Never heard of that one, I don't think.
So it's the site of a massive multi-regimental live maneuver exercise in October of 2019. Military training is usually what they do there. So military training is just one of the interesting activities at the Marine base, which is listed in Project Red Book. The database contains information about subsurface alien activity sites. It was compiled for those who want to explore the sites with no claim of authenticity for any particular site. According to researcher Val Valerian, which sounds like an alien name.
Yeah, right.
recovered alien technology is examined in underground facilities at 29 Palms. In addition, there have been many UFO sightings in the area since the 50s. In May 2019, a worm-like UFO was spotted over the town.
Mm. Big worm. Wormy.
Like, what is a worm-like UFO? Like, is it because it's wiggling across the sky? Or do you think it actually was like an animal in the sky?
Must be that squiggly thing again.
I guess.
Yeah, that one I don't know. Don't know.
I feel like I need to know what a worm-like UFO looks like, and I'm too lazy to Google it right now. So, 5 points to anybody in the chat room who Googles it and throws a picture in there.
I need a picture.
Yes. Okay. You all do the work while I do the show. all right. The next one is Fort Meade.
Yes.
In Maryland. So, in his book, Above Black, Project Preserve Destiny, why do these people all have multiple... It's just crazy. Dan Sherman writes that he was sent to Fort Meade in Maryland to train for his role in the above top secret level Air Force program called Grays. In 1992, he was recruited to speak to gray aliens, first encountered at the Roswell incident. His mother was visited by aliens and was the subject of genetic manipulation. Did he just bark? Therefore, Sherman could fulfill his duties as an intuitive communicator and receive messages from the Greys. First, Sherman sat in communication vans in an unknown location to receive the messages from the designated alien. After some time, he began to receive what he called abduction data. The NSA, a national security agency, headquartered at Fort Meade, declassified many documents in more recent years. Some of these reports note attempts to decode a radio message received from outer space. This one does not strike me so much as credible as some of the other ones that I've heard about.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your mother was abducted and you were genetically modified to receive these messages. It's a little, I don't know, that one for me just...
Yeah, and the wiggle worm.
The wiggle worm was the one above it.
Okay. Well, so, whatever. Yeah. And this, that just goes to the fact that you have some of these reports that are so make you think, you mm-hmm. know, and then you have ones like that are like, yeah, okay, come on, you know?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem with some of this stuff is that you've got these, you know, actual credible people credible, coming forward right. and saying, you know, here's my information, this is what I've got, I know there are documents written out there, and then you've got people like this who was like, my mother was genetically modified and now I can hear aliens.
Right.
So, in my head, I feel like those, the second set of people... really undermine the first set of people, and the government allows those second set of people to come in so that the average person who doesn't spend too much time overthinking things like we do mm-hmm. lumps everybody together and says, oh no, all aliens are crackpots.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know, that's my thought. I mean, I feel like they allow that kind of stuff to happen specifically because it undermines the credibility of someone who might actually be onto something.
Yeah, and then you know, they have the whole thing of being the family thing. They have the thing, if you've been abducted, it seems like your whole family, it's like they study your family. So, like, if you've been abducted, somebody else in your family is abducted, and you just don't know it yet. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. You know what I mean? So, it's just weird stuff. Weird.
Yeah. Is it weird?
Yeah. It's weird.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah.
Just making sure you were done. I didn't, you know, last time we were on the air, I stepped over you a lot because you just were not cooperating. So,
nope, not at all.
So this week I want to make sure you were actually done.
Nope, I'm done.
Okay. Yep. All right, the next one on our list is Edwards Air Force Base. So skeptics wonder why aliens speak to the common man rather than to leaders. In fact, one of our greatest leaders, Dwight Eisenhower, may have communicated with them. Depending on the story that you believe, the president either took a secret evening trip to Edwards Air Force Base while on golf vacation, or he went to the dentist for a repair of a chipped tooth.
Went to be a dentist.
Ike's dentist insisted he saw the president on February 20th, 1954, but Dr. Michael Sala believes that Ike met two blue-eyed aliens who had colorless lips and white hair at the base. Dr. Sala is a leader in the field of exopolitics, defined as the study of the political study of the key actors, institutions, and processes associated with extraterrestrial life. I didn't know that was a thing.
I was going to say, is that actually what we waste our taxpayers' money on?
No, because he's a academic, so somebody's giving him grant money to do that.
All right,
interestingly, the Associated Press reports that Ike died on February 20th, 1954, but retracted the story 2 minutes later. Magdalene Eisenhower, Ike's great-granddaughter, has publicly stated that she believes that Ike met with extraterrestrials.
Hmm. Well, that's interesting.
So, did he go to the dentist to fix his tooth? Or did he go to meet aliens?
Well, you know...
His dentist says he got his tooth fixed. Some other random doctor of exo-alien politics says... that he did not, that he was talking to aliens.
Well, you know, eventually, if that would happen, it would, you know, be up to the president to probably meet with an alien.
I would take me to your leader, right? Isn't that
that's
a thing?
Old corny cliche, but here's my question on that. Okay, Keanu Reeves movie. Day the Earth Stood Still, the new one, not the original. It's like he came down to destroy the world because we were destroying ourselves, and he wanted to save the planet, not humanity. He wanted to talk to the person in charge. Well, of course, the government thought it was the president of the United States. You know, he does not govern the world.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to talk to the world leaders, and he didn't mean military. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
If we got visited by a society of aliens, you know, higher intelligence, blah, 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 and they came here, they wouldn't land on the White House lawn, especially now, but they still wouldn't do it because they don't interpret the world revolving around the United States and the president of the United States and our military, if you know what I mean. So where would they go? What, you know, to... I don't know. You know, it's like they... I'm sure if they were intelligent, they would be looking to who they should be talking to. But, you know, we think the leader of the free world is our government. And other governments around the world think the same thing of their government. So
I don't necessarily think that, though. Because, I mean, you think about it. If you went to a third world country and said, who's the leader of the world?
Mm-hmm.
They're probably going to say China, United States, maybe the European Union, depending on what part of the country or what part of the world you're in. But so that's where they're going to lean. United you know, Nations. They're going to lean towards those bigger powers. So do I think that the United States controls the whole world? No. But
no,
I think that those bigger, like, if you were going to come down from space and land and say, I want to talk to someone in charge, you're going to ask to speak to one of those kind of higher powers of one of those. You're not going to fly into, you know, Liechtenstein and say, take me to your leader.
Yeah.
Because Liechtenstein's going to be like, there's only 7 people in this whole country. We all kind of lead on different days of the week. So it's Monday. Go see John over there. Like,
right.
They're not going to do that. They're going to try and land at one of the bigger powers. And you're also going to turn around and say, okay, who's got the military power? That's going to be the second place they're going to look. Okay, who's got the biggest military power?
Which, and the other part of the fact being how we're seeing UFOs over military bases. So they've already kind of, in a sense, you know, investigated that. So we have many nuclear weapons, and so does Soviet Union, so does China, blah, blah, blah. So, and apparently they have ways of disarming our electronics that control them, so they could probably shut them all off if need be, so we can't fire on them. But you know,
agreed. But it also explains why they're showing up over all these military bases, because they're out there going, "All right, you got 6 ICBMs and 2 bombers and 1 this and 1 that." So. This is probably, you know, they're out there giving us a score. These are, you know, these are, if these are true interactions, these are scouts. That's exactly what they're, you know.
Yeah.
That's what they're
so
trying
many
to do.
Questions and answers, and here we are talking as of it being an actual thing where it's unproven, but, you know, it's, you know, that's what we think would happen, you know?
Well, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's our job. We're on a radio show talking about UFO Air Force bases, so I feel like we have to talk about it like it's a real thing, because it would be really silly if we were like, yeah, here's some Air Force bases that claim they had UFO attacks. Hey, not dumb. That sounds like a bad plan and not great for ratings.
Who makes the ratings? I mean, come on.
I do, but it's not the point.
Oh, okay.
All right, so we got a couple more. If you want to shoot through them, we got 9 minutes left.
Okay.
Okay, so the next one is Kirtland Air Force Base, which actually has some photos available if you want to see. So a declassified government report reveals that guards at Kirtland Air Force Base in New Mexico saw UFOs in the Coyote Canyon area in 1980. During the same period of time, radar was jammed by an unknown source for 6 hours in that area. Paul Benowitz, a physicist, inventor, and UFO researcher, has begun to see odd lights in the sky a year earlier. These lights, which flew towards Coyote Canyon and the base, could be seen nearly every evening. Benowitz filmed the lights as well as objects she saw on the ground and in the air. Over time, he collected more than 2,600 feet of film. Benowitz also taped low-frequency radio transmissions he said were transmitted by the aliens, and he created a computer program to translate them. In addition, he claimed to have evidence that aliens were controlling people through electromagnetic devices. Now, see, this is what I'm talking about, where, you know, if they're going to come, they're going to take us out with EMP, because that's the easiest way to pretty much destroy the entirety of the United States, is just to...
Absolutely.
Take them out. Mm-hmm. We'll just take...
Take them down.
Yeah, you can take out an entire generation of kids by just basically shutting down the Wi-Fi.
I know. Wouldn't know what to do.
They'd have no idea what to do themselves.
Go outside and play. Play? What's that?
No. I gotta do what now?
Okay. You gotta write stuff on paper? Okay. Yeah.
So, no, I mean, I don't necessarily find this one all that unbelievable. I like that this guy, like, sat there and was like, I'm just going to film every night and see what happens, because that's kind of what you have to do to get some of this stuff.
Right.
So, again, in New Mexico, the Holloman Air Force Base is on our list.
Mm-hmm.
It's the center of several UFO encounters. Project 1947, which is an ongoing gathering of articles and documents about UFOs seen between 1900 and 1965, presents one of these incidents. 1950, electronics engineer Cliff Booth reported that he and another man had used an Ascanian theodolite to get the photograph of a cigar-shaped UFO. I don't know what that is. But while both men were convinced they had seen a vehicle from outer space, the photographs were blurry. Years later, filmmaker Robert Emmenegger was promoted by the U.S. Air Force to produce a UFO documentary. 1974, UFOs Past, Present, and Future was released without the most sensational story. The U.S. Air Force reneged on its promise to give Emmenegger footage from the UFO landing at Holloman Air Force Base in 1971. The footage shows three UFOs, one UFO landing, and three aliens emerging.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that footage.
Yeah. Look it up.
Is it actually, like, can you find it?
No. It's crap. Yeah, it's crap.
That's silly.
Watch E.T. get a better picture. Yeah.
E.T. phone home.
Yeah.
My children don't get that reference, and it makes me sad.
I know, right?
Oh, okay. If you insist. All right, last one on our... Oops. The last one on our list.
Last one on our oops?
I clicked too many times and I almost shut down the article. It's kind of hard to read the article if you shut it down. Is Dobbins Air Force Base. So, Georgia's Aerial Phenomena, 1947-1987, written by Roswell, Georgia police officer Michael Hitt, presents 234 UFO sightings in the state of Georgia. Many reports come from civilian and military pilots like the airmen from Dobbins Air Force Base who told their story in 1952. They saw an object streak overhead before it disappeared. The same object was seen on radar scope as it traveled at 1,200 miles an hour, twice the speed of an airplane. Control tower operator Bruce Beach relates that there were so many UFO sightings at Dobbin Air Force Base in the 50s that the tower had a 3D camera, which was unusual at that time. Sightings continued through the years. Recently, a square black UFO the size of a Boeing 727 was spotted near the base and reported to MUFON in January of 2019. The spaceship-sized McDonald's... Sorry, I don't know what the hell just happened there. The spaceship-shaped McDonald's in Roswell reminds residents and tourists that we are not alone in the universe. Mm-hmm. So, what do you think? So, no, honestly, what do you think? Are there aliens or no aliens?
Let me put it this way.
I'm sorry, as Olivia would say, aliens.
Aliens, yeah.
Do you have any aliens today?
Yeah, absolutely. Project Blue Book was created by the government to disprove UFO encounters, okay? Dr. Alan Hynek was chosen because of his disbelief and his ability to disprove you know, these encounters. By the time that Project Blue Book was shut down, and I'm not sure, I know it was in the 70s, but he was a firm believer of alien interaction.
So they swayed him?
Abductions. Yeah, well, basically, he, by his own right of doing his own investigating, he became a believer. So I think there, yes, there is something to it all. Because the more you look into, you know, the reports and everything, yeah, you could disprove a lot of them, but some you just can't. And when you take a man of science like this, and he goes to the other side, and he is able to basically prove that there has been encounters, I would have to agree. Yeah, yes, we have been visited by extraterrestrial life at some point, and they are a lot smarter than us.
Well, they're a lot smarter than some of us.
Yeah. Okay.
Just saying.
No, I know. But yes, I believe if you want to know the truth, don't read the tabloids. Just, you know, do your own little investigations on some of the stuff and, you know, look at the skies. Heck, I do it all the time just for fun, but
just don't do it while you're driving.
Yeah, that would be bad.
No, I'm very close to what you're saying. I don't necessarily know if my mind is made up one way or the other, honestly. Mm-hmm. I would love to believe that aliens are a thing. I would love to believe that they've come to visit us and, you know, that one day we'll go there and we'll all, you know, live in a nice little Star Trek universe. Or Mork and Mindy, more specifically. I'd like to be Mindy to my Mork or whatever. But at the same time, I sit here and listen to General so-and-so, Major this guy, you know, these men who have kind of, you know, basically, and women too, who have sold their lives to military service, who are putting what is basically their reputation and their career on the line by saying, release the document that I wrote. You know, I believe that something happened. So in my head, something is there, whether it's an alien or some kind of like funky technology that somebody's come up with that we just don't understand yet. I'm not sure, but I don't know. I'm very much on the fence, swaying heavily towards there's something going on. Whether or not it's an alien, I'm not sure.
Right. I just think it's hard to believe that the leaps and bounds that we've come through with at least our spacecraft and stuff and within, you know, 7,500 years, all revolving around the time that we were supposedly had spacecrafts crashing or landing in. And then all of a sudden we have stealth technology. We have guidance systems that we've never had before. We've had metal combinations. And it's just...
Well, yes, if you look at human, I mean, I'm agreeing with you in that, like, there's a lot of human evolution where, like, you know, we started out with, like, you know, rock tools, and then all of a sudden it was like this boom of like, and now we figured out all these 25 things, and then it's like, and then, you know, a couple hundred years go by and nothing, and all of a sudden it's like boom, and then like, and I wonder if you go back and kind of correlate the UFO sightings at that point, then you can kind of trace those things, like you're saying, like in the 50s they had Roswell, and then all of a sudden we had this big tech boom, and now we're on a rocket ship to Mars. But
yeah, well, also you go back to the ancient alien factor, of which I have written in our Dropbox ready to go sometime. But anyway, it is not your typical ancient alien things, but have we been pushed a little or given a helping hand by a galactic being, force, whatever? You know, there's so many questions.
Yeah, and we gotta run. We've run over, so we gotta save those questions for a different day. Maybe we'll do ancient aliens next week if you guys are still into it, and we'll talk about it. But we gotta hand the mics off. So,
oh come on!
I'm sorry. As always, I'm Rebecca,
and I'm Bill,
and we'll see you in the shadows.
is changing, and it's only going to get better. Stay tuned to find out how.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para-X Radio Network.
The opinions expressed by the host and guest do not represent the opinions of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Some content may not be suitable for children or sensitive listeners. Please listen at your own discretion.